The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah. Boy, you gotta understand. So that's not just a slogan. That's not just something you say when things are going wrong or whatever. No. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and that is the truth. Regardless of what is true or the facts, there is a higher truth. And that higher truth says that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you can use it in every area of your life.
Yes.
How many of you slept enthusiastically last night? How many of you know you can sleep enthusiastically? That's right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, whatever you do, whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That means even, you know, you spend a third of your life sleeping, some of you more, some a lot less. Some of you wish you could, you could do more. But sleep is important, isn't it?
Yes.
Is sleep then that occupies that much, is that important to the Lord?
Yes.
Is sleep one of those things that, this has nothing to do with the message, by the way, but sleep, is that a whatsoever thing we do that we can do heartily, enthusiastically,
yes,
as unto the Lord?
Yes.
Oh, you bet. You don't have to bet, it's just true. Yeah. You know, if you meditate on some just two scriptures for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, when you meditate on the Word of God by looking at it, saying it, hearing it as you say it, you're building truth into your spirit. You're building a living Word into your spirit man. You are empowering your spirit man with the words of life and blessing and power and strength. That's what happens when, and if you meditate on two scriptures for 5 or 10 minutes every night, make it a practice when you go to bed. Psalm 127, verse 2, it is vain for you to wake up early and to rise up early and to eat, sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. And then in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, it says this, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Amen. And as you meditate on those, and then the sudden fears or concerns and the uncertainties and what are you going to do, that's come to steal and rob you of your sleep, right? And the rest that comes with that. It's amazing how the Word of God in you will just rise up and say, get out of here. I don't care about that. I sleep in peace. My sleep is sweet. And I do it enthusiastically. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Fear, you know, Psalm 91 talks about that too. It says, I will not be afraid of the terror by night. That's what it comes to do. It comes to steal your sleep, your rest, and that wears your body down. But God, you can be confident in this one thing, says in Philippians 1:6, that he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That means he who started a good work in you is big enough to finish it. He is the one who recreated your spirit. He is the one who can bring it up. All he needs is a little cooperation from you. And that, what is that? Faith, confidence, what he said he'll do, and he will do it. Amen. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Well, last week we started our series. We just got a little taste of it because Stephanie was here and we wanted to make sure we give her plenty of time. And it was also our sixth anniversary, which means that we are in our seventh year. This is the first week of the seventh year, a year of completeness, a year of fulfillment, a year of fullness. That's what it, biblically, that's what it means. The seven spirits of God are the complete spirits of God. It's all the attributes that make him God. And when you were born again, you were born bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Did you hear me? You are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. As the bride of Christ, we are. We are just, this is where people get kind of, are you kidding me type of stuff. But this is where that heaven looks at us as equal with Jesus. You've got to understand that. When you're calling angels to go do something, when you are approaching the throne of grace confidently, you've got to know that you have been made accepted in Christ, that you are a joint heir with Christ, that you are just as important to the Father as Christ. Settle it. Settle that. Because you know what? It's the truth. It is the absolute truth. That's what the Bible teaches us. This word is God's life being imparted to us. You know, the truth makes us free. The truth makes you free. But the truth isn't always very easy to accept. Turn to Luke chapter 4. We'll go into this right away. And by the way, Stephanie last week, when she came up here, the very first thing she says was, you know, the worship team, the worship really sets everything, the tone of the whole message and the whole service and everything. And she said, you have an amazing worship team. And we have an amazing worship team. And I want you to know that we appreciate you, Phil. Elise, Hattie. Benjamin's in with the kids right now, but Benjamin, we appreciate you, brother. And we don't want you to go to Harvest Camp or whatever that is. We don't want you to go there. We want you to stay. Stay here, Broham. Come on. We want you to stay here. But if you got to go, you got to go. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16. Oh, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Why did I say Mark? Well, we will go there eventually. But what are you laughing at? Okay. Luke 4, 16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Fastened. And he what? He began to say to them, I heard one preacher say, this is the shortest sermon ever preached. This word is fulfilled. No, this is not a short sermon. Because this was the theme of his sermon. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. When he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What is good news? That's the name. The gospel is good news. What is good news to a poor man? That you don't have to be poor. So he probably went systematically through the principles of prosperity. Proverbs, Psalms, Abraham, he went through, and then he would return and say, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ear. Then he preached healing to the brokenhearted, to the broken bodies and the brokenhearted. And I mean, if a family member of mine or I had cancer, that would break my heart, wouldn't it? Or some kind of sickness. Look, then he went back and said, this day this is fulfilled in your ear. Then he went to deliverance of the captives. And he said, this day. So what he was doing is coming back to the general theme of his message was this day, this day, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Why? Because I'm here. And then in verse 20, I'm sorry, verse 19, he says, I have come to also preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And every Jew in that synagogue knew exactly what he was talking about. You know what he was talking about? He's talking about the year of Jubilee. That's what Isaiah is referring to when he says the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee is every 50 years, where every slave, that means bondage, every slave would go free. Every debt was canceled. Everything was administrated and brought right back to ground zero. Why? Because the Jubilee is here. And God would supernaturally take care of Israel during that time. The problem is that they never stayed in obedience long enough to enjoy it. But you see, in the New Testament, we don't have, it's different from the Old Testament. The Old Testament was a performance-based thing. And if you failed, an animal had to die. But and it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. It could just cover it because a death did incur because sin demands death under the Old Covenant. But under the New Covenant, he whose blood is eternal of the Father covered all the sins from Adam to the last person who will ever live. It's the most powerful thing, and it sits before God day and night. That blood on the mercy seat is in his face. It's been there for 2 days, 2,000 years. Amen? Amen? And it is in his face. Every decision he makes acknowledges that the blood has paid for it. Every decision he makes, every thing that he decides to do is based on that blood. All of his mercy is based on that blood. That blood not only covered the first person to the last person, but it blotted out their sin when they say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wiped. All of your sin, past, present, and future, deleted. All the banks, the memory banks of heaven, all wiped out. Deleted, gone. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that a lot of times people look at confessing their sins to God and receiving forgiveness for that sin is really not a complete thing. They still feel guilty because they feel like they're still under some kind of a parole. And if they do one more thing, that thing will come right back. And Jesus even said that. Sin, don't sin anymore lest the worst thing come upon you. Well, look, we got a new covenant now. Jesus said that as a prophet and teacher under the Abrahamic covenant where nobody was born again yet. But you've been born from above. You are delivered. You're not on parole from your sin. It's wiped out. It is gone. When did that happen? 2,000 years ago. If you turn back this clock to 2,000 years, you could start it up and you could say, totally free. Every time you look at a calendar, it marks the life that has stood, the name that has stood through time. The history, your history started. All the blessings of God, all the provisions of redemption are done, completed in him, and that has, nothing has changed since then. for 2,000 years, nothing has changed. To heal the brokenhearted, give sight to the blind. Most people don't have problems with blindness in these eyes. They have blindness in their hearts. But we change that. We change that. We're no longer blind in our minds, in our hearts, because look, this is in our face all the time. And this is declared from the throne of God. He spoke it so it could be written, and it was written so we could speak it, believe it, and walk in it. Amen? And he began, verse 21, to say to them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Wait a minute, isn't this Joseph's son?" And then in Mark 6, Mark adds a little bit more than Luke does, and Luke adds a little bit more in other places. So you put them together, you come out with a pretty total package here. And many that heard him, in verse 2, it says, "And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From where does this man have these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? Such mighty works that were wrought by his hands.'" So obviously, he was doing miracles there too. "Is this not the carpenter's son? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon?" There goes one theory. See, Jesus had brothers and sisters. After he was born, Mary continued to have kids. I think a religious balloon just got blown up right there. Sacred cows, you got to go. And are not his sisters with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended. They said, "Wait a minute. Who are you? Where do you get off saying all this stuff? We know you." Now, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know, but it's their reasoning. Jesus is giving them the most powerful, burden-removing, yoke-destroying message that had ever been delivered to anyone at any time from anyone, anywhere. And they missed their "this day" message of total liberation, total healing, total prosperity. Instead, what they do? They leaned back on some kind of a religious understanding. You know, the church has got to wake up. We've got to understand that we are new creations, that we have a God who's ever present with us all the time, that he is alive, that he is a now God, that the things that he does now are things that he bought the privilege to do through that blood 2,000 years ago. Amen. You got to understand something. Don't get comfortable in your way of life. Be in the moment with Jesus. Get sharp again. Amen. Don't let the failures of the past just start ministering and say, Here's a good scripture. Matthew 27, verse 35 says this. Matthew 27, verse 35. It says, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet Isaiah. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots." And verse 36 is so telling. "And sitting down, they watched him there." When I read that the other day, it was like, it was like the finger of the Lord was on my chest, saying that people are so busy watching what's going on, they have no idea what's taking place. They're so busy watching what's going on. You know, the life of a Roman execution squad, watching people, nailing human beings to crosses, whether they be men or women, has a hardening effect on the heart, and their conscience no longer talks. In fact, they do everything they can to destroy that voice, and they keep pushing it down and put hardness of heart. And they get to the place where they are unfeeling. And so the wording here is such, the wording here is such that it's almost like they're watching a spectator sport or an afternoon movie. They sat there watching him. What's this one going to be like? Or is this just another crucifixion? Da, da, da. And here they are witnessing the most tremendous drama of the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption right in front of their eyes. And they didn't know it. But what's worse than this execution squad just sitting there watching him was that the Sanhedrin was there. And they were watching the plan of redemption being fulfilled in front of their eyes, and they didn't know it. They missed a big this day right there. Even the devil, when he saw that blood, started to grimace a little bit, saying, I wonder if we did the right thing. Because it says, if the princes of this world knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil was behind all of that. But God was smart enough to catch him with his own wisdom, to use their own devices against them. They were caught in their own snares, and Jesus rose from the dead victorious. Now, everybody's watching the risen Christ. Amen? And they got offended at him, and then Jesus said some more truth to him. In Luke 4, verse 23, he said, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard in Capernaum, do also hear in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now here he's calling himself a prophet. I remember one time, Kenneth Copeland, who is a prophet, one of his uncles called another one of their, he said, is Kenneth a prophet? He said, well, yeah, I think so. How can that be? He's our kin. You see? this kid grew up, he said, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Verse 25, he says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine was throughout the land, but none of them was sent, Elijah sent to, save a woman of Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. She was not an Israelite. Verse 27, it says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed but Naaman the Syrian. It says, and all the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. Truth is hard on the flesh. You've got to decide that you're going to receive the truth in order to receive the truth. Mm. And rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill. They were going to throw him off of this cliff, that they might cast him down headlong, but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. You never want to see the Lord go his way when he's given you the opportunity to join him. Now, I'm here today to tell you something. I've heard a lot of religious talk, like people sitting by, they're watching everything going on and not realizing what is actually taking place. When I speak to you today, there are things that are taking place in your heart. Look at this room. There are radio waves in this room. There are television waves in this room. Internet waves. Just turn on your phone. You've got there. This room is filled with all kinds of things going on. And when I'm talking to you, there is something going on in your heart and in your mind. There is traffic going on. There are visions coming, ideas, creative things, way you're going to respond to certain problems, so forth. You got to understand there are things going on inside of you when you hear the word of God. It's not what I'm saying. It's what's going on inside of you that the Holy Spirit is taking things and start to connect in your life. That's where the Lord deals with us. It doesn't matter too much of it. I mean, yeah, you want to hear a good message and everything like that. But the thing is, God wants to tool you. He wants to retool you, rewire, rework it, and get everything working in you in such a way to equip you for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That's what Jesus was trying to do here. He says, I came to do these things, to take that yoke of bondage away from you and deliver you and make you free. But, again, we get stifled in the religious order of the way things happen. And what happens is that we get numb. We get bored. We lose our sharpness. And then we come up, we hear television and so forth where preachers start using these little axioms and that we accept when they're small and they grow bigger. Like, well, you know, in the Lord's timing, I know he'll heal me when he gets good and ready to, when it's God's time. Do you know when that will be? Then how can you release your faith on it? How can you be sure and confident that God... No, there are certain things that God has put under his responsibility, like the plan of redemption. He already fulfilled that. And all the benefits of redemption have already been released. They've already been released. It's yours. It belongs to you. All of those benefits belong to you. They are not up there somewhere or out here, and in God's timing, they're going to come into my... Well, you know, the Lord will lead me according to his time. Let me give you some scriptures that I saw the other day. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What does salvation mean? It's the word soteria. It's an all-inclusive word that means rescue, safety, deliverance, health, healing, salvation, protection, preservation, and all of these things. You don't have to wait for some time in the future to get healed. I don't care what testimony you've heard or whatever, by whose stripes you were healed. That's where God begins. That's where you need to plug in and receive from him. And don't be afraid to do it. The devil will say, oh, well, that doesn't pertain to you. Has he tried that one on you? That's for them, but you're different. You know, look, the devil is a zero with a rim knocked off. He has already been so defeated. All he's got is lies. You have eternal truth right here that says it's finished, it's done, it's perfected, and all he needs is your faith to say, okay, I receive it now. Hebrews 3:15, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in a rebellion. Boy, I'll tell you something. I have known a lot of hard-hearted Christians in my time. I'm not looking at any here. But I've seen a lot of hard-hearted Christians in my time. And you can't tell them anything. They've already decided that they know what... You know what? They've listened to people who have preached crosswise to the Word of God. And what happens is they get nothing, they have nothing, and they know nothing. With Christ, it says we know all things. With Christ, we can do all things. With Christ, we have all things. But apart from him, we know nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing, and we are nothing. I can give you scriptures for all of those. Today, if you will hear his... Today, that word today, if you will hear his voice, listen to this. It's the same word, today, semeron. It's a Greek word. And it's the same one Jesus used when he said, today, this day, is his word. You can look it up. It's the same. Listen, he's always talking to you. Luke 19, 43 and 44 says this, for the days will come upon you, this is when he's weeping over Jerusalem. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you one stone on another because you did not know the time of his visitation. God, we need to understand, we need to understand the potential of now. The potential of now. God is now. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, the ever-present God. He is in the now. He's not I was or I will be. He is I am. Amen? Amen? He's always with you. Why? Because when you speak the word, when you do the word, he's there. Like popcorn, it just happens. As they went, the lepers, as they went, they were healed. You know the one who came back and thanked him? He was made whole. That means the other lepers, maybe they weren't made whole. Maybe the process stopped and they got healed. But that one leper, you know, thank God for what you have. Thank him that he is in the now, always give, always provide, always speaking to you, always revealing truth to you, always showing you the way to go in every situation. He is there. He is the wisdom. He's the counselor. He is the Almighty God who will not leave you. He's already died for you. He loves you. You see, Dwight, great. A few words there, boy, I'll tell you, they're powerful, though. It's not only God's opportunities that bypass us when we're not in the moment, when we react out of the flesh for something. We have an enemy, too. You see, Jesus is saying, your enemies will surround you. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. It's not wise to miss the hour of visitation with the Lord. It's not wise to do that. When did God heal you? 2,000 years ago. When did God save you? 2,000 years ago. What? How does that work? I don't understand that in my peanut-sized little mind that looks around, and I was educated, but that doesn't mean I'm smart. Look at this clock. You know, that one, this is like a quartz, so it goes, but that 1 second, that'll never be again. What God undid through Jesus is he undid the works of the devil. He did back then, and it doesn't matter, one click of the clock, or anything can change that. It's done. It's complete. You don't have to have God save you. You just need to come and receive salvation. You don't have to have God heal you. All you need is to come and receive healing. Does that make sense to you? You don't have to have God make you prosperous. You got to just do the word and you will prosper. What is that? Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat. Seed time and harvest. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Beware of the things that dilute the truth. Yeah. When something is diluted, it's weakened. I mean, I'm not going to go there. But back in the past life, BC, when I played in rock bands, I mean, you'd do some liquor with and you'd dilute it. See what I mean? You weaken it. And after a little while, you didn't want it weak. You didn't care what it tastes like because you're already fairly numb. But you understand what I'm talking about? The truth can be diluted. How is that? Well, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 4. Persecution and affliction gets your mind off of God and gets it back on you. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to hit back? How am I going to... You know, persecution and affliction come to steal the word. The cares of this life, lusts of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches, thinking that riches are going to make you happy. If I had all of that, I'd be happy. You got to study the scriptures a little bit more about that, because you are an eternal spirit, and there is no amount of riches in this world that can fulfill and satisfy an eternal spirit who you are. It can't do it. Doesn't have the properties to be able to do it. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. When you make a decision now, in this moment now, a quality decision, then no distraction that comes along later can move you from that decision, because it's already decided. It's already done. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed, and as he was finishing his prayer, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. And he said, I've come to give you understanding. I was sent when you started the prayer, and I've read through it. It takes about 3 minutes. So Daniel was praying for about 3 minutes when the angel was there. Then in Daniel chapter 10, and this is where they start talking about God's timing. Not God's timing. In Daniel 10, it says that he fasted and prayed and was praying for 3 weeks before the angel showed up again. So, does God wait 3 weeks sometimes, or does he do it? No, it says this in Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. I know I wrote you down somewhere here. Yeah, here it is. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, and I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold and ephah, his body also like beryl, and his face was the appearance of lightning. Oh, wouldn't you like to see that? You can. And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said, don't fear, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before, your words were heard, and I am come for thy word. But the prince of Persia, this is a demonic principality that was withholding him. God sent him right away. But the principality of Persia held him up. And he says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael is the chief of the warrior angels. Do you know, God created warrior angels, and there are wars in this earth, and this earth has only known peace for certain times after a great conflict. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained with the kings of Persia for 3 weeks while they were fighting me through. Daniel's fasting and praying was pulling that angel through. But you know what? Those demonic principalities in the heavenlies, they have been destroyed. We're in a New Testament now, where we have been elevated to a much higher position than any demons. Satan himself. We have been elevated to be seated together with Christ. That's our seat of authority. You can read it in Ephesians chapter 2. We have been raised up together and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Who? Jesus. So even if there was something, it doesn't pertain to us because it's already been destroyed by Jesus. He said, I've seen the devil fall like lightning from the sky. You know what spiritual warfare is now? Here. To get you to make the wrong decisions. That's the only thing he's got left. Oh, Daniel, greatly loved. Wouldn't you like to hear, see an angel with fire in his eyes? And actually, he's describing what John saw when he saw Jesus, too. So it could have been Jesus. But wouldn't you like to see that? And have him appear and say, oh, Lori, greatly loved of God and Tom. You are greatly loved of him, and you have been empowered from him. You are a living new creation with power that you haven't even tapped into, with authority that you haven't even tapped into, with benefits of the new covenant that you haven't even tapped into yet and applied to your life. God has eliminated all of the obstructions. All of the old man is gone. Now we get our minds renewed to the truth and present our bodies a living sacrifice, and boy, that thing comes together. And when you walk, he walks. Amen. And when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. And the joy of the Lord will rise up and make you strong against all of those attacks of the enemy. Amen? Amen. God's timing is always now. You don't have to wait on him. He operates at the speed of light. He moves at 186,000 miles a second. And faster than that, too. You don't have to wait on him. He's waiting on you to decide, okay, now's the day. I declare, now is the day of his fulfilling salvation in my life. I am his, he is mine, and it is real. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that it will not return to you void of accomplishing its purpose or pleasing you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father, Almighty God. Father, I just pray that every word that was from you here today remain in our hearts and stay in our hearts and grow up and become greater than our needs, grow up greater than our maladies, greater than all the things that the devil has laced in our lives and tried to dilute our thinking, try to dilute our approach to the things of life and the spirit. Lord, that we receive clarity in Jesus' name. That we receive utterance when we need it. Clear thinking and clear thoughts in line with your word. So that we can rise up and be everything that you created us to be. In Jesus' name. If you have never spoken in tongues, I want you to come up here. After sir, the rest of you are dismissed, and there's fellowship in the cafe, some refreshments back there. Again, thank you for lunch, Lynn and Alichka. And if we left anybody out, please forgive us. You are loved, but remember, God's timing is always now. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well...